New Testament reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, they are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of our Lord. Last week during our worship service, we talked about the Vacation Bible School that we hosted here, and we showed a short video which you all got to see all the games and the things that the children did, and you learned that the mission for Vacation Bible School was God loves us, so love each other. The Bible stories that the children heard during VBS reinforced this theme of loving one another. They heard stories like the Good Samaritan and the paralyzed man. One of the ways that the children embodied love during VBS was by bringing in items to donate to the troops. And last week, all of you were invited to join in on this effort as well, to demonstrate love towards our troops overseas. And I am happy to report that we received an outpouring of love from you all this past week, and we have containers full of items to send out tomorrow morning to our troops. So, as I prepared the sermon for this morning, and as I read this passage of Romans, more specifically, Paul's admonishment to love your neighbor, I couldn't think of any better display of loving your neighbor than what was demonstrated this past week by all of you. It was most certainly a generous act of love and one that will touch the lives of many of our troops. A large portion of what Paul writes in his message to the church in Rome and to many of the churches that he writes to, it was to encourage the people on how to live, how to behave and interact with one another. For Paul, it seemed clear to him that if we really understood the grace and love that God had poured out for all of humanity when he reconciled us through Christ, then our behaviors would reflect that understanding, and our actions and our interactions with one another would mimic that sort of grace and love that God had demonstrated. By understanding the gift of grace that God gave all of humanity, and by experiencing the tireless love that God demonstrates in all of our own personal lives on a day-to-day basis, that is what compels us to want to lead lives that reflect God's grace and love in this world. This is the whole basis in which Paul asserts that all the commandments can be summed up into one commandment, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. Because if our actions are stemming out of love and grace, and they're embodying God's grace, then naturally we don't need any of the other commandments. We won't be going around causing harm to our neighbor. We aren't going to be murdering them or stealing them, but rather we would be shining forth God's love in their lives. Loving your neighbor as yourself is a pretty easy concept for us to grasp. It means that in just the same way that we become hungry and we satisfy our hunger, then when our neighbor in need is hungry, we offer them food. Or in just the same way that we desire clothes that fit and are comfortable, then we provide that for our neighbor. Or in just the same way that we enjoy having a home or a safe place to lay our head at night, we strive to offer that to our neighbor as well. Loving your neighbor as yourself is not hard for us to understand, and it is not a new concept. We have all heard on countless occasions what it means to love our neighbor and how we can embody that love. So, in an effort to not bore you this morning and to keep you awake throughout the sermon, I wanted us to focus on a different aspect of that commandment. And the part of this commandment that I wanted us to focus on is not how we love our neighbor, but focusing on those times when we are the neighbor and allowing ourselves to be the neighbor. Oftentimes, it is easy for us to give to others. The difficult part is for us to be on the receiving end. For instance, how many of you, when you go out to dinner or lunch with a friend, or if you're out to dinner with a couple, you guys battle over who's going to pay for the bill? Or how many of you feel compelled to offer some sort of compensation for a friend who wants to help you with a home repair or with a car repair? Or how many of you would prefer to be the person offering the shirt off your back rather than receiving the shirt? It is easier to be the person that is giving and helping others than it is to be the person who is receiving the help and kindness. Or in other words, it is easier to love your neighbor. It is hard to be the neighbor. When we think about showing love to our neighbor, oftentimes we imagine our neighbor as a person who is living in need, perhaps homeless. We think of someone needing a warm meal, a safe place to lay their head at night. We don't oftentimes think of ourselves as being the neighbor. But being the neighbor does not mean that you are destitute and in need. It simply means that you are the recipient of another person's love and kindness. It means that you are on the receiving end of God's love and grace that somebody else is shining forth in your life. Being the neighbor means that you get to experience the benevolence of another person as they treat you to dinner, or as they help you with a home or car repair without ever expecting some sort of compensation. A couple of weeks ago, I took my car to the car wash, and I went to the car wash just to run it through the automatic part and to just get the sap off of the windshield and clean it up a little bit. So it was going to be an in and out kind of thing. So I ran it through the automatic car wash, and then I drove around to the section where you can vacuum your vehicle. So I got out of the car, and I was drying off my windows, and as I did, I realized that there was something black on the top of the fin, on the top of my 4Runner. So I tried to get it off with the rag that I had, and it wouldn't come off. So I jumped up on top of the bumper and just to see what was up there, and as I did that, I realized that the entire roof of my vehicle was covered in a thick black grime. So I started scrubbing at it, trying to get it off, and it was not coming off. About this time, the owner of the car wash walks over, and he says something to the effect of, "Hi, I hope you're having a good morning," that sort of thing. And at that point, I said, "Well, there's this thick grime that's all over the roof of my vehicle. So I was wondering if you knew of a product that I might be able to go and purchase and pick up that could cut through this." And so he said, "Well, I'll help you with this. Just pull into one of the car wash bays, and I'll go and get this industrial strength soap, and we'll see if it can get it off." So I pull into the bay of the car wash, and he comes over with this bucket of soap and a sponge, and he's scrubbing at it, and it is still not coming off. I mean, it's really on there. So he said, "Let me try one other product that I have." So he left and went to his office and got another bucket full of this soap. So this time he came back, and he had a ladder in his hand. He climbed up and poured the bucket of soap all over the roof of the car and started scrubbing at it, and it started coming off. So at this point, he is standing on a ladder over top of my car, scrubbing the grime off the roof of my car. I'm standing on the other side of my vehicle, bouncing from one tire to the next so that I can have enough height to actually scrub the dirt off as well. And we did this for an hour until all of the grime was finally off. And it literally took us an hour to do this. Just as a side note, I want to make sure I mention this. This gentleman had no clue who I was. I had never met him before. He is not from Westfield. He doesn't live in Westfield. And he had no clue that I work at a church, or that I am the minister of a church. And I offer that nugget of information because sometimes when people know you work at a church, or if you're a minister of a church, they're a little bit nicer to you. They clean their language up, and they smile a little bit more. But this gentleman had no clue. He was just doing this out of pure benevolence. And I was extremely thankful for his help. So I continuously thanked him, and I tried to offer him money for helping me, but he was adamant that I didn't pay him for this. So as I left there, I was brainstorming ways that I could thank him for this. And so I came up with the idea of just writing a thank you letter and going to Portage Pie and getting him a pie and bringing it back over and dropping it off for him. But I didn't do it. I decided not to do it. Because after I thought about this whole situation a little bit more, I realized a couple of things. The first thing that I realized was that I was never, ever going to park under that tree again that had caused all of that black grime on the top of my car. But the second thing that I realized was that in this situation, I was the neighbor. And I realized that I was receiving this love from somebody else and that it was difficult for me to receive it. So as much as I wanted to rush out and go and write him an elaborate thank you letter and buy him a pie or try and compensate him in some way, I didn't have to do that. That it was okay to simply be grateful for it and to just say thank you. To love your neighbor as yourself is not a new concept to us. It's one that all of us understand and we strive to embody in our lives as we care for others in this world. The more difficult task for us is to be on the receiving end of that love, to allow ourselves to be the neighbor. The more difficult task is to accept someone else's love and kindness and to just simply say thank you for it. So as we leave here this morning, let us do so with fresh insight about Paul's admonishment to love our neighbor. Let us realize that there are times in our lives when we are going to be the neighbor, and to allow ourselves to be the neighbor, to be grateful for the fact that someone else is shining forth God's love and grace in our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.